A Jewish Journal article. Constructive ambivalence. Ambivalence has a bad reputation for very good reasons. It is associated with fear and failure, the Hamletesque desire to deliberate rather than decide. On the battlefield, an ambivalent soldier is a dangerous liability. In a relationship, ambivalence erodes commitment and pulls the couple apart. It is difficult to be decisive, because every decision carries risk, but strong leaders need to be courageous and push forward anyway. Our Torah reading offers a different picture of ambivalence. Every commentary wonders, what was Yosef's plan after meeting his brothers? Over the course of 5 chapters, we watch an unusual plot unfold, a long and twisting narrative that resists interpretation. Multiple commentaries labor strenuously to organize Yosef's actions into a coherent plan. Perhaps Yosef was motivated by vengeance. Perhaps he was testing the brothers to see if they had changed. Perhaps he wanted to bring Benjamin to live with him in Egypt. Or, as the Ramban suggests, Yosef felt compelled to fulfill his childhood dreams, and was manipulating his family in order to bring his father and brothers to Egypt and bow to him. These competing theories arise because Yosef's behavior is so perplexing. There is no obvious motivation for his actions. Yosef constantly vacillates. At times he is a harsh Egyptian viceroy prosecuting suspected spies. At other times, he is a kind brother who releases them from jail, overfills their bags, and returns their money. On their second visit, Yosef invites the brothers for a meal in his home and gives them gifts, and returns their money once again. At the same time, he frames Benjamin as a thief. During each visit, Yosef is moved to tears by his reawakened love for his brothers, but he immediately turns aside and covers up the tears. Yosef is the very picture of a man torn in two. I would argue that ambivalence is the best explanation for Yosef's behavior. Surprised by his brothers, Yosef found himself of two minds, uncertain which direction to take. Emotionally, he felt both rage at, and love for, his brothers. More significantly, with the brothers' arrival, Yosef's social standing was threatened. The powerful Egyptian viceroy was afraid of being exposed as a Hebrew, who were despised by Egyptians. Yosef was the first crypto-Jew, a hidden Hebrew in the court of Pharaoh. During the 9 years that he was in power, Yosef made no attempt to reach out to his father Yaakov. The simplest explanation for this is the most obvious one. Yosef didn't want to reunite with his father, and preferred to leave his past behind. David Henschke points out the Midrash Tanchuma, which remarks that Yosef settles right in when he arrives in Egypt, and proudly forgets his father's home. Yosef's desire to burn bridges with the past is reflected in the name of his firstborn Manasseh, which means, God has made me forget my hardship and my parental home. And forget is exactly what Yosef does. When interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, he confidently says, as for Pharaoh having had the same dream twice, it means that, God will soon carry it out, oblivious to the fact that 13 years earlier, he himself had also had the same dream twice, yet nothing happened. Yosef left behind a traumatic childhood, and replaced it with amnesia and affluence. Then the brothers arrive, and Yosef is confronted with repressed memories. He is torn between his desire to protect his status and an unexpected longing for his family. Now he wants to take two opposing courses of action at the same time. He wants to remain anonymous, yet at the same time ensure that the brothers keep returning to him. Yosef betrays his inner worries when he charges his brothers with being spies. Like spies, his brothers know sensitive secrets about him. And so Yosef vacillates, sometimes speaking like an Egyptian, and at other times like a Jew. He takes an oath to Pharaoh's life, and declares that his goblet was used for divination, a pagan practice forbidden by the Torah. At other times, when he is more compassionate, Yosef speaks about how he fears God. Yosef alternates between the theological language of Egypt and Israel. The perfect metaphor for Yosef's split identity is found in the eating arrangements when he shares a meal with his brothers. The Hebrews and Egyptians sit apart, per Egyptian custom, which treats Hebrews as inferior. But Yosef sits alone, in a no man's land between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, unable to eat with either. Yosef is ambivalent, uncertain if he belongs with Egyptian royalty or with his brothers. Yet it is precisely because of this ambivalence that Yosef can reunite with his family. After 9 years in power, after 22 years apart from his family, Yosef refuses to make the quick decision to send his brothers away. Yes, Yosef's ambivalence is turbulent and frightening, but it is also constructive, and sets the stage for an exceptional conclusion to the story. For Yosef, ambivalence is the way station on the road to repentance. Ambivalence can be constructive. Hesitation, deliberation, and vacillation are often the first stops on the road to personal change. Transformation begins when a person accepts a new perspective. Most of the time, that only happens gradually. Before making a change, people will hold more than one point of view at the same time and jump between them. Ralph Waldo Emerson, when critiquing thoughtless conformity, said, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul has simply nothing to do. There is a limit to the value of decisiveness. It can often hold people back from solving problems and considering new possibilities. Without ambivalence, change is often impossible. In a leadership-driven culture like our own, ambivalence seems weak and cowardly, the product of passivity and procrastination. We respect quick and clear decisions, and the Mishnah's recommendation, to be slow to judgment, seems too wishy-washy. And sometimes it is. But sometimes it isn't. And the value of ambivalence is that it offers an opportunity to consider alternatives, resist conformity, and embrace innovation. Yosef teaches us that change is only possible when a person is unafraid to be of two minds." Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz is the senior rabbi of Congregation Kehilath Jeshurun in New York.